Sure.
What? We're holding on page 1133, which is the. I'm sorry, we're holding on page 1132, which is a Sefer Chinuch that speaks about the mitzvah of emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the way that we call Midas Tovos. The Rambam here, the pasuk says, Yikim Hashem Leilam Kodesh Hashish Balach Kisishma Sinsha Shemakecha Olachta Bedrachah. So we're enjoined to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, and that is our obligation. And and it includes all the midos. So we saw the Rambam last time, and now we're going to look at the Chinuch. He quotes the Rambam in the beginning, Mitzvah L'damer Tzedakah Shem Tzbarach Tehem Yisharim. It's a mitzvah to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all that is Tov and Yasha. And then he brings the next paragraph, he brings the Chazal, that says, Omer Zechon HaBrach HaPeferes Zeh HaMitzvah, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikor Racham HaFatah Yirachom, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikor Chanaf Tehi Chanun, and Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikor Tzadik HaFatah Yitzadik. Ma Hu Nikor Kodesh HaFatah Yikodesh. In other words, all of the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anything that says about him, is meant to be emulated by us. Va'inyan kulo, in a general way, what does it mean? Loma. Shenelamed nafshena lalechas v'pulos tovos ke'elu, u'midos nechpadas shesuper esbarach. Al derech mashal loyma shemisnag midas tovos elam b'yosef. Every time we find a mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing something, and it's mentioned in a way that is, where it's compliment, but it's something which is meant to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, it is obvious that it's a type of anhaga that we're supposed to learn from that and emulate it and so on. Now, V'hu Baruch Hu yis'al al kol ili gadol, she'en mar koach v'dei lahasi gadol man lasar of tuvo v'lo b'chal nivroim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is really above everything. In other words, we shouldn't think that that's, you know, you sort of equate. There's always a danger in it that we're equating our Kaddish Baruch Hu to us. So he says it doesn't mean that. Our Kaddish Baruch Hu is beyond us. All of these things are used to describe our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Let's explain this point, because this is a very, very, it's a fine point, and it really in many ways is the difference between apikorsis and emunah. An emotion, when we speak of our emotions, we're speaking about something that drives us versus the other way around. As opposed, for instance, I can say that I yelled at somebody, so that's an act that I did. When I say I got angry at somebody, I'm passive, and I have in myself a certain emotion, a certain drive, a certain some sort of something that is pushing me to react in a certain way. And that's why if I go for therapy, for instance, I can sort of be able to control my anger. The assumption is my anger controls me. My cravings control me, my anger controls me, and so on. And I can learn how to undo it. When I say somebody's kind, I tend to mean he has something in him that tends to react in a certain way, which, again, it implies that the conscious person, the conscious slash active person, is controlled by forces that are back in the background of his mind, and that he really doesn't have a handle on it. To say by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he got angry, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lost his temper, is really a certain level of kfira. It's implying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a temper, a divine temper, that rules him. And that so any emotion that we have, expressing it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, expressing it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tantamount to kfira. On the other hand, the pasuk does have it. The psukim speak about that. So I guess if we can use a contemporary mashal, it's like on a computer they have emoticons. What are they called? The little smiley faces.
Yeah.
So we have these little. So when somebody sends an email with a little smiley face, a little nasty face, or whatever it is, that face, I may have been angry and sent that with whatever it is, but at least as far as that little emoticon goes, it's an expression. It's a way in which I get my message home, and it's saying something. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs an interface with us. And many times we tend to catch a message when we can put it into a package of an emotion. So anger, simcha, and etc. are emotions that are expressed to us. So he says, "V'al derech hazeh she'amarnu yikru ha'nevim l'kel baruch hu kol ha'kinuyim." That's why this is what's meant when the Nevi'im call HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of these midos. Ki ba'omrim erech ha'payim, en yichilu she'kas efanav lolam. By saying erech ha'payim, they're not implying that there would be kas. Kasher b'yodeh l'chomis l'hachris, limchos olam v'livrois, v'ein omer l'matas olam yichos. If there is the one who can bring life and death to the world, why would he get upset? Gam ki ha'kas en ha'shlema v'kohes. He makes 2 points why we can't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu lost his temper. We always lose our temper when we're faced by something that we can't control. We're stuck in a traffic jam. Our children do or don't do what we want them to do. My boss or my worker doesn't perform what I want him to perform, and I'm hopeless. So rage and anger are always expressions of not having my will be able to express itself. No, I'd like it to express itself. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is omnipotent, and he can do anything he wants, where would anger come from? 2, anger is seen as a chisar in a person. In other words, the person lost it. You lose control of yourself. You do things that most of the time you wouldn't want to do. So there's the element of losing control. He says, and that's why what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with the Midos was he gave us a pattern of behavior that is appropriate, and we have to emulate that pattern of behavior. So now the Chinuch says, you can ask me, there's a pasuk that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu loses temper every day. It also says how long does anger take us an instant? Don't make that mistake. Kas, the way we have it, comes from a lack in us. The zam we're talking about is a mussel. Kavanosam loyma, ki biyoyz roiv ne adam shavolim shochan achat avosam, amem rabim oiv l'shem shayech mazal skayit sarbanim, yischay avolim atechach kli atomit. Notice what it's saying is the way the world is set up, that the vast majority of the world is over the zara and does what's not right, and so on and so forth. So the world really should have been destroyed. That's what he's kind of saying is that the world has a constant matzav of being chayev, of being chayev kloya. So basically what he's saying is, let's explain it a little bit differently, but it's in line with what he says. For instance, let's take an example of the perfect teacher, and he has a classroom of kids that are somewhat unruly, difficult, etc., etc., etc. And so even though generally speaking he's working with the class as it is, and he deals with them as they are, and tries his best and so on, because the general performance is abysmal, you want to express at some point on a regular basis that, yes, I'm patient with you and I'm helpful to you and I'm everything that, but let's get it clear, you're like an F plus. You're not holding anywhere. In other words, so long as the world in general is chayav kloya, it's not going to be a situation where it's, where there's no revelation of kas. That would also be counterproductive. So just like, let's give an example. You're helping somebody who's struggling, he's not doing well at all. So most of your hanhaga with him has to be patience and calm and so on. There needs to be in the big picture some expression of that, you know, of reality, that this is where it's holding. So there is a hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the big picture of kas kol rega. So it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loses temper. It means that there is a hanhaga of kas because the world, and that's the situation of the world. In language that Bali Kabbalah use is along the lines of Midas Hadin needs to find its place. In other words, in the emes, you can have different arrangements of tov and ra, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping and chesed and so on, but you can't completely ignore Midas Hadin. You can't totally say, let's give an example. Imagine somebody goes to a doctor and the doctor diagnoses that the person is very, very ill. So obviously in the general context, you need to be encouraging and helpful and so on, but you're purveying a sheker if you don't say it, that it's serious. Now, you can spend 43 and a half minutes saying about how you're going to die imminently, or you can spend a minute saying, no, it is very serious and it's something really, really that, you know, we need to be fully act part of it. But there are things that are helpful and you know, so on and so forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to put the Midas Hadin can't be shut out of the process because it's part of the emes. And as long as the world is high of Midas Hadin, needs to be part of it. Okay, Shor Shmitz is Yadua, then he says, that Kihi or Shoshad of Echad. So he says, the halachas, the chinuch normally gives halachas and reasons. So he says, in this case, the halacha and the reason is one and the same. No surprises as to what the reason for it is. The Neo Gankin Tsarim, in Yanam Hu Dara Klal Shi Bachalay Adam Bechon Yan Hom Isa Be Machila Mishti Masamat Minitari and Philip and Sichel Dava, Adara Hatova Mutsas, the Israchic Laksovas Laola. So this is something which he's just paraphrasing the Rambam, that in all the Anhagas, a person needs to pick a middle way, and that's the right way. We've explained already when we spoke about the Rambam that the middle way can't be defined in a sort of mechanical way. For instance, a person, if he eats at his maximum taiva, can, let's say, put four steaks down. Depends on the steak and on the person. After eating minimal, he can eat no steaks. So the middle road is not two steaks. Person can lose his temper, be angry 24/7, or he can never be angry, so 12 hours a day is the middle. Silly. The middle means the person chooses the appropriate use of different anhagas. And it could be getting angry, it should be once a week, it could be getting angry, it should be 14 hours a day. It doesn't make it. The point that Derech HaMutzas is, we're not taken by the extremes, we make use of it. The hanhaga hamamutzas, that's tov, is using judiciously different middles to get the appropriate balance that's right for what's supposed to be. Okay, let's see. The next one is a teshuvah of Ben Avram Ben Arambam, which is fascinating. Someone asked him the following shayla. You don't dinner Rabbeinu. B'dvar ma shomer Rabbeinu datzal mitzvah v'seif mitzvahs b'mitzvahs hashmishes essay. B'dvar ma shomer yisol levachta b'drachum shemitz essay. He says, I don't think pshat in the pasuk. The Rambam learns it as mitzvah essay. The one that asks question says v'nirshu tnai. It really looks to me as if it says, if you do this, do this. And so on. He says, if you look in the Pshuto Shel Mikra, it's all sort of part of an equation. This and this will happen to you if you do this and this. And so on. So, and then he says, "Kramer Rabbeinu Zalbi Karvi." Shein Roy Lemano. He says that Sivui Makol Lema Mitzvahs. He says we already, the Rambam says that general, sweeping statements of "and you shall do all that is good and right and wonderful and so on and so forth" should not be listed as mitzvahs. Tshuva. Ma Shamata Shu Mitzvah V'Nira Shu Tnai Er Lizchayv Zekoyishi. So he says, the question in Pshat that you asked, it looks like my father said it's a mitzvah, and you say it's only a t'nai, where he says, it's the answer lies in the question. Let's give an example. If I tell somebody, you're so good, and you're going to get a wonderful reward because you helped set up the entire Beis Medrash. So that implies that setting up the entire Beis Medrash is very virtuous. It wouldn't make sense if it was not a virtuous act that I would reward him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to get all that good because you're going in his way. That definitely implies going in his ways is good. The Tanai is on something that we're mitzvah. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you do what I've told you, what's right, and so on and so forth. Okay. So the first point is, he says, he's explaining just simply that this is not at all contradicts Pshat, this emanates from Pshat. V'ulam, last paragraph. Ma shemarta v'luga moisa mitzvah yikolos ha-mitzvahs. And then your second question was, okay, maybe it is a mitzvah, but it's a sweeping general mitzvah, and it's just kind of a general thing of doing the right and the good and the wonderful. Ochein ze ma shal tzichon lisbayin vay. V'yesh kan shtei tshuvos ha-sasag hazayis. There are two answers to deal with it. Harishayna, the first one, V'ika gadol badas, ubo nevdalnu onu adas rabban shel karayim. We the rabbinical Jews, are different than Karaites. V'ze ikahu, she'ein onu somcha ma'ashemor lo pshuta shal kosev, al ma'ashemor lo v'akosev akavol v'yachad. We don't just look at the pasuk the way the pasuk is written. We look at the pasuk with the Torah Shabbat Peh. Says there are plenty of places where I could show you the rise from it, and the chazal are the pshat. And this is, generally speaking, is something also that we need to be careful about, especially today. A lot of the issues, we tend to be on the same side of the fence as, let's call them, more fundamentalist Christians. And so on. So whether it's gay marriage, whether it's all sorts of family things, abortion, etc. Even on issues like Torah and science. The problem is the literal reading of the Torah is not what we believe in, period. The literal reading of the Torah is something which is not correct. We believe in Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat together. And therefore, when we have all sorts of things that Torah Shabbat Peh changes in a very fundamental way, that's what we go with. So he says, "V'gam lu yoyre pshat hakosav b'zeh behechas ha-kirtzim." And even if the pshat were to say that, "Afa pikin chayom l'hamin shumitzah protis neshak kabolam l'freshes b'negei lav ma'an ikar rachanu." V'zeh yisah tshuva achas b'dav v'zeh v'ikar shagor shazayne. He says, this is the important teretz. He's going to give another teretz to explain how we can understand the pshat. But he says, I want to make it clear that first and foremost we learn Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh. Mashama Abba Mori Zatzal Shalei Roy Limnos Mitzvus Esai Kolos Hamitzvus Emes Chavis Zasoga Shari Emes Chavis Kolos Hamashara Rakov. So yes, my father said that you can't count general mitzvahs. Well, in the Torah Shabbat Peh, it is not listed as a general mitzvah. V'zoisi ha'tshuva shniyah. And this is the second answer. Lu hoya mikra zer, so not to drach of mitzvah lelis. Lenema besignan zer. He says, now I want to also answer it in pshat. And he makes very clear, it's not because the answer in pshat is not the real answer to this. The real answer is because we go with mitzvah with Torah Shabbat. But I want to show you, he says, even in Torah Shabbat Ksav, it makes sense. So he says, Lu yamik hazer etzayim lakta of mitzvah lelis, lehoi nema besignan zer. The right phrasing would have been we sort of pass it. He says, you see very clearly that the Pasuk tags it on. The Pasuk says, yes, there's a general mitzvah to keep all the mitzvahs, and you shall go in his ways. So the second answer it gives is an answer, al pi derech ha-pshat, that it fits in the Pasuk also. I want to just add a point or two to this. I guess using the Rambam's model of extremes, we have in our, we are people who believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, and we tend to teach our kids the Psukim with the Medrashim and so on and so forth. We many times pay absolutely no attention to the Pshat the Pasuk, and we just learn the Rashi sort of, and that's what kids remember and so on and so forth, which is correct, but it's lacking something. There's another shita, and I guess the much more modern people, Orthodox or not, tend to learn like sort of with the Shuto Shel Mikra, with the dicta, with the literal, you know, sort of looking at it in its own light, really without Chazal. And even if they don't say anything off or wrong, which is always borderline, there's still something lacking in it. In other words, it sort of gives over the sense as if the Torah itself stands as Torah Shabbat Ksav. It's just that the rabbis add another rabbinical thing. So by some people, it is, you know, by Kairoim type people that becomes up because, but even it leaves over a taste to teach the kids Chumash without the basic understanding of Chazal is a chisar. I remember somebody once, Reb Chaim Shalevitz was once saying a shmuz, and at the beginning of the shmuz, he asked for a chumash. So somebody standing in the front row picks up the first chumash that comes to his hands, and he gives it to him. It was one of those, you know, Bible chumashim that have just the chumash without Targum, without Rashi. The old time sort of looks like a rival. If Chaim looks at it, it kind of doesn't get it. Like, and then Chaim had a booming voice, and he was not shy, and he spoke from the bima. He looked at the person like, he says, "What kind of chumash did you give me? Chumash without Rashi is not a chumash." And there's a point to it. To teach kids chumash after, but there are a handful of Sfarim that have done an incredible job, like the Malbim. The Malbim shows how the Torah Shabbat Ksav really is. The Torah Shabbat Peh is the Torah Shabbat. There's the Malbim, there's the Ksav Kabbalah. And what it does is, it's meant to understand that it's not, that they're one unit. Let's give an example. When I tell somebody something, I can do a code. So let's say like by Jonas and David. David told Jonas, okay, if I say take the arrows, it means one thing. If I say the arrows are far away, it means something else. In other words, the code has absolutely nothing to do with the message, but that's the way it is. That's one extreme. There's one extreme where I take a person literally, without any insight into it. There's another way where I get a message that sounds different than the literal message, but for instance, let's say I knock on somebody's door and I say, I'd like to invite myself in for a suda for a day, whatever it is. And there's a moment's hesitation, person says, why? Of course, if you need a suda, please come in. Now, literally, the person said, come in and a suda. If I'm a little open to subtle nuances of communication, the fact that the person had it hesitate a few seconds, and the person said, if you need a suda, meaning basically if you're going to starve death without it, to come in, implies to me that it means not. And that's the shlemus. That type of understanding is a complete understanding. So when I can understand how the Torah Shabbat Peh lies in Torah Shabbat Peh, that's a real shlemus. The Rechaim HaKadosh says somewhere that our chiyuv of Torah is to find the inyanim of the Chazal within the context of Torah Shabbat Peh. So it's important to do both. It's important to learn with Chazal, because that's Torah Tas, Torah Shabbat Peh. It's important to sensitize children at an age that they're ready to, how you actually see it in it. One of the things we do in the morning, we do Shabbos morning, the Trump, you know, we pick out places where the Trump seems to teach us something, and we found time and again that, and the Malm especially is awesome at this, that in the Trump, how you read the Pasuk, you find very, very clear hint to Torah Shabbat Peh. And that is really a certain shlemus. So al kapanim, the Rav Rambam's point is that you can only understand Torah Shabbat Peh. And mind you, the Rambam himself was big into dictuk. The Rambam told his son to learn Ibn Ezra. That was the pirush that he told his son to learn. The Rambam was very on board with that. But the Ibn Ezra, learning the pshat and the pasuk is simply to be able to understand how in the pshat you already have the framework for the drasha chazal. Okay, we'll hold it.